Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we've got, well, maybe our most unique mission so far. You sent us sources about this one really playful document, a children's short story called The Great Costume Chaos Spell.
Yes, it's a fantastic little story. It's aimed, at kids maybe 3 to 8 years old. But honestly, it's packed with lessons. Our goal today isn't just to summarize it, but really dig into how it uses all this fun chaos to teach something specific.
Exactly, like the physics of fun, maybe. So the setting, the source tells us, is Maple Hollow Elementary, and they have this great fall costume contest that everyone takes very seriously.
Mm-hmm. And that serious atmosphere is key. It really drives the story. The source mentions kids spending weeks planning, sketching, building their costumes.
Wow, weeks.
Yeah, weeks they were really focused on winning, which, hikes up the competitive feeling right before it all just unravels. It's the perfect setup for, well, a magical meltdown.
Right. That focus on winning is the contrast we need. We want to figure out what makes this chaos work, not just random, but targeted, surprising, and actually kind of wonderful in the end.
Okay, so let's start with the contestants, the kids themselves.
Yeah. So you walk into the gym at Maple Hollow, and you're expecting the usual stuff, right? Superheroes, princesses, maybe some robots.
Standard costume parade.
But the source immediately signals this high level of creativity because it mentions some really absurd ones, too.
Ah, yes. The talking sandwiches.
We have to talk about the talking sandwiches for a sec. Why is that detail so important, do you think?
Well, it tells you the kids weren't just going for cute. They were aiming higher for something memorable, funny, even a bit weird. The creativity bar is already way up here.
So the chaos that follows feels kind of earned.
Exactly. So you had these kids focused on tiny details like how many of us fit on a superhero cape or, what filling is in the talking sandwich lining up, hearts pounding, waiting.
And then it happens. The moment everything changes. The principal's up there, ready to start the judging, says, let the contest begin.
And instead of applause, magic, it's described as a glittery wind that just whooshed through the gym.
A very clear signal. Normalcy. Over.
It's instant. Total shift from that tense competition to, well, who knows what happens next.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The genius of it isn't just poof, magic. It's how specific it is. The chaos fits the costume.
Yes. Let's break down some examples. The sound changed first, right?
Right. The source mentions a pirate hat. Just the hat. Suddenly yelling out, ahoy, matey!
Just the hat. Brilliant. The prop takes over. It's not just decoration anymore. It's got agency.
Yeah.
It's the first clue for the kids that, they're not in control here.
And right after that sound cue, things start moving on their own.
Like Mia the fairy. Her wings beautiful, but, just fabric and wire before. Suddenly they start flapping.
Flapping hard enough to lift her off the ground.
3 feet in the air, the source says.
Which turns the costume from just looking pretty into something, well, functional, even if accidentally. That's great physical comedy for little kids. That sudden lift, you'd remember that.
Totally memorable.
Yeah.
But the real core of the absurdity, the thing that probably gets the biggest laugh, that's the relational comedy.
You mean the taco?
Oh, absolutely. The walking taco.
Yeah.
Without warning, it just starts chasing a giant banana.
A taco chasing a banana across the gym floor.
It's simple, visual, food-based slapstick. You don't need complex understanding. It's just funny. And it's exactly the kind of detail a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old will latch onto and talk about later.
Highly visual, yeah. And we can't forget the robot.
Right. The robot costume didn't just, short circuit. It started breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
And the source adds this great detail, sparks flying from its tinfoil arms while it busted a move.
Okay, so we've gone from this orderly lineup for a contest to basically an impromptu dance party where the costumes are calling the shots. The whole point, competition is just gone.
Poof. Replaced by this collective, uncontrolled performance art.
And the chaos just builds because the crowd isn't scared. They're laughing.
Howling with laughter, it says. Adults, kids, everyone gets swept up in this swirl of silly mayhem. The story makes it clear, this disruption. It's actually fun for everyone.
Even the trickier costumes got in on the act. The mummy, for instance.
Yes. Instead of just shuffling around, it decided to use its bandages to redecorate.
Started wrapping itself around the scoreboard.
Taking this serious static gym thing, the scoreboard, and turning it into this absurd sticky fabric wrap thing. It's physical comedy, but also kind of rebelling against the rules, isn't it?
Totally. And the vampire cape. It just kept swooshing.
Dramatically. Refused to stop. Even when the kid wearing it tried to sit down, pure theater.
Like the magic gave the costumes the personality the kids maybe wish they had.
Maybe. Giving them the inner drama they always wanted.
Yeah.
And then the peak absurdity. The moment that shows no one, not even the principal, is immune.
The pumpkin hat.
The principal's pumpkin hat. Suddenly develops this amazing operatic voice and starts singing an aria.
Oh my goodness.
It pulls the authority figure right into the hilarious mess. Perfect narrative choice. Everyone's in on the joke together now.
That singing pumpkin hat, that's kind of the point where you realize, okay, instructions aren't going to fix this. And we see that when Mrs. Willow, the art teacher, tries.
She does the logical adult thing, right? Calm down, everyone. Just calm down.
And it doesn't work?
Nope. The source says, the magic wasn't ready to quit. The chaos was just too much fun, too compelling. It needed a different solution, something not based on authority.
And this is where the lesson really starts to take shape. You can't just tell magic to stop. You can't command it away. It needed something.
Right.
Collective, unified, positive.
What's fascinating here is the solution needed the exact opposite of what the contest encouraged. It needed teamwork.
Oh, right.
But not just any teamwork. The story is very clear. It took a big group hug to finally calm everything down.
Wow, a hug. A physical symbol of cooperation being the answer to all that individual costume chaos. That's clever.
Yeah.
And really accessible for young kids. Magic needs connection.
You don't fight the chaos, you embrace it together and calm it down.
And that totally shifts the energy, doesn't it?
Okay.
The spell breaks, glitter fades, wings stop flapping. Costumes are just costumes again. But the feeling that lingers isn't disappointment. It's laughter.
Yes. The kids couldn't stop laughing. That's the new measure of success. Not who won, but how much fun everyone had.
And that fun directly influences the judges. This is where the moral really lands.
They realize their usual criteria, neatness, originality, whatever, it's totally pointless now.
Mm-hmm.
How can you pick one winner based on planning when the real event was this shared chaotic experience?
You can't. So what do?
They reward everyone. But the prize categories are fantastic because they celebrate the chaos itself, like most magical,
okay,
most likely to start dancing.
Love that one.
And my personal favorite, best flying fairy accident.
Best flying fairy accident. They literally gave a prize for the mishap.
Exactly. By validating the accidents, the story tells the kids that, hey, sometimes things going wrong or sideways is just as valuable as perfect execution. If it leads to fun and everyone experiencing it together, it's a complete shift away from I win, you lose.
In the source material, it spells this out, right? It says the kids learned about teamwork, problem solving, and just laughing together through the mess.
The shared joy, even though it was spontaneous and unplanned, became way more important than winning something individually. The lesson is pretty clear. The journey, especially a really silly one, makes a better memory than just reaching the finish line first.
So what does this all mean for Maple Hollow Elementary? That contest wasn't just saved, it became legendary.
The funniest fall festival ever. The chaos became the new, better tradition.
It's a really well put together story, isn't it? Using all that fun, tacos, chasing bananas, singing hats to teach a core social lesson about working together.
Absolutely. Magical absurdity teaching cooperation.
And the story ends with this perfect little touch. The students secretly hoped that Magic Wind would come back every year.
Mm-hmm. We got a taste of that shared chaotic fun, and they actually preferred it over the chance of winning a normal, predictable prize.
It suggests that maybe that desire for spontaneous fun, for unexpected shared moments, even messy ones, is sometimes stronger than wanting a neat, planned, individual win.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, if you had the choice, an orderly victory or a shared, hilarious mess. Why do we, kids or adults, often kind of lean towards the mess, something to think about long after the robot stops dancing?